I'll invite Noel Rohrer.
We just sat and talked. I didn't realize the chair was going to be part of all this. It's a little intimidating. All right, so my first role in all of this came about because of a trip that I'd made to Thailand as part of a long one-year trip. And I ended up at Wat Pa Nanachat, not really sure why I was there other than that someone told me I should go there. It's in the far east of Thailand. And the abbot greeted me. We talked for a couple minutes, and then he said, "Well, you can stay the night. Here's a pamphlet on meditation. You must leave tomorrow. We don't have tourists here." So I was crushed. I was really upset about that, actually. And then I guess he saw my face fall, and he said, "Well, if you'd like, here's a little piece of paper that has directions that will take you out to another monastery that's out even further into the boondocks." And so I said, "Fine." And I took the piece of paper, and I spent that night, and I read the pamphlet on meditation, which is, to this day, really the only meditation training I think I've ever had, and went to it. So then I hopped in the back of a truck on the road, and when I sat down, there were two older Thai women there who looked at me, and there was a pause. I looked at them, and then they just started yelling at me because I didn't have a shaved head. I hadn't in any way become part of this monastery in a meaningful way. And they were really unhappy about it. And they were telling, it was the shoes, it was the hair, it was the whole thing. Like, none of it was working for them. And so then I sheepishly kind of showed them this little piece of paper because I need to help. Because I had no idea. It was written in Thai, and I didn't actually know how to get anywhere. So, and then there's sort of like, there was a pause again, and they said, oh. And then the whole 20 people were in the back of the truck were all involved, and then conversations and this and that, planning and handing me on from here to there. And so finally it was arranged. So then they handed me off to a bus, and the bus handed me off to another bus, and then to another boat, and then across this reservoir. And I ended up at this monastery. I think it's Wat Khun.
Wat Khun,
yeah. So I ended up there, and I spent 2 weeks there. One of the monks who was there was Tan Supito, a Western monk, and it was a really extraordinary time. I could fill up all this time with just talking about that. But I left, and then finished my trip for a year, and then came back to the United States. And when I came back to the United States, I ran into, actually it was Susan Barber at a book people, this book vendor. And I recognized the name of her company because I'd always admired it and admired the work that she did. And so I said, when I saw that name, I said, not Susan, but I saw this name, Grace Productions. Remember that? Yeah. And I said, I've got to meet her. And so I went over and I met her, and she said, "You know, you really should come to this thing, this gathering that we're going to have in San Francisco, and come, you know, just come sit with us." And I said, "Well, okay, that's fine." It sounded a little hippie to me, but I was like, who knows? Maybe it'll be nice. She seems nice. So I went and I walked through the door, and of course, who's sitting there but Tan Supito. So in San Francisco, a year or some later, whatever it was, and it didn't make any sense to me. It was really quite extraordinary. And that's the point at which I realized I had some sort of karma with these people that I was going to have to play out in some way. And so, at that time, board members were selected among the three people who would regularly attend sittings. So if you attended more than two sittings, you were basically a board member. So my role was treasurer. Yeah. And so I was around during the time when the land was donated. The initial parcel of 120, 130 acres, and then the work began of raising, of accepting donations for the other piece of land that had the house and electricity and all the amenities that would make living here in the next 10 years possible, as opposed to doing it immediately, as opposed to waiting a decade to do it or some long period of time. So it was an extraordinary time. There were a lot of donations that came in from Thailand. As I recall, someone who had a radio show in Thailand had taken an interest in this project and would talk about it regularly. And so we would get these big stacks of donations from Thailand, and it was really quite moving. And then, of course, in the United States, people were donating money as well, and it accumulated. And then one day, one day it was time to pay for the parcel. And I remember how there was, and we've heard colorful stories about the board, but there was some disagreements about the purchase of the land. And then once the land was purchased, there was something fairly unskillful that happened along the way. And so some people on the board, perhaps I was maybe one of the louder people, were really irate about this issue. And without, again, without going into all the details, we had a long conversation about what we should do. Should we buy the land? Should we not buy the land? What does this mean? Where should we go? And I didn't really know how on edge Ajahn Longpoor Amaro was at the time, but yeah, I think he was a little edgy about where we were going to go with this or not go with this. When we finally did sign the papers, I remember him just breathing a sigh of relief, sadhu. Yeah. But one of the things that I learned at that time, and I don't remember the monk who did this, but we were trying to decide how to resolve this conflict that we had. And the proposal came from one of the Buddhist scholars that we knew who's in robes, but I don't remember the person's name, that there were the scriptures talk about four ways to resolve conflict. And then we considered these four ways as being skillful ways and that we could adopt any one of them or potentially none of them if we didn't want to end the conflict. And as a result, we chose this fourth option, covering with grass, deciding that this thing that we saw as being unappealing, we would leave be, and that there was no point in unearthing it further, and that we would move forward and also move forward as stewards of what was not ours, but instead what belonged to the Sangha. So that was an important time, and for me, an important lesson about how organizations and communities struggle as they expand. It is the nature of that. I'm an academic now. I'm a research scientist. And I notice this very often that as we go through transformations of a new building or new faculty members or people changing roles, that is very stressful in organizations. And that is what we have as a monastery, is we are a community of people that has organizational qualities and that is stressed by change. And as I look around me, I'm kind of astonished by where we are. It is amazing how complex and sophisticated this set of buildings and land is. I think about it as a spiritual community carved into the mountain. It's certainly built with cobblestones and building permits and poison ivy rashes and all of that, but it is this enduring spiritual place. And I think what I'm also struck by is this sort of long story that when I was first involved, it seemed like something that would happen, as I think Mark was saying, month to month. Fred was saying month to month and maybe sort of 6 months to 6 months. But here we are, it's 5 years, it's 10 years, it's 20 years. And I start thinking to the future and I start thinking about what does it look like 20 years from now? What does it look like 40 years from now? What does it look like 80 years from now when I'm no longer here? That there is a place that exists that is really quite extraordinary. And I guess I want to also express my gratitude to the monastics who are here. It's really moving to me to see men and women at the front of the room. That's, I think, an important way that this whole community has grown. And it's extraordinary to see the support from the lay community that has allowed this to grow, that this building is literally under construction because of the generosity. And that generosity is important for helping the monastery and the buildings to continue to grow, to have people come and visit, to support the monastics who are here. So I'm really grateful to you all as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mo.